Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Mile High Report Radio Horse Tracks. And now, here's what's happening in Broncos country.
You guys already know what kind of week it is. It is Beat Las Vegas week. And as Broncos fans, this is always a time that we have circled on our calendars. As soon as they release the schedule, we look at the two times that we play the Raiders, and it always feels like a special time because I've yet to really meet a Broncos fan that doesn't hate the Raiders. We've even had some great talks. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Bradley Chubb talking about one of the old, he only hates a few teams in the league, and one of them is the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'm super excited for this weekend. It should be a good game for the Broncos. I'm definitely not one to overlook, but it should be a good game because I think their defense is definitely matches up well against this offense, especially this pass rush against the Raiders struggling offensive line. I'll get into both those things here in just a second longer. And it's also going to be great considering that things might not be looking great locker room wise, head coaching wise, and also, oh boy, especially with this guy getting back onto the field, it looks like the Broncos are going to be in for a treat. Also helps that the Raiders give you up about 26 points per game. So maybe the offense can actually get things going. I mean, in the first couple games, we saw them convert first downs, get yardage, but absolutely suck in the red zone. On Sunday night's game, we saw the Broncos just be perfect in the red zone, but absolutely suck when it comes to getting a first down or any sort of offensive yardage. So we're just going to wait and see. But this is Horse Tracks for September 29th. It's a Thursday. And of course, I'm Ross Allen, and we are going to have a great time today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Whether it be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you catch podcasts from, thank you so much for tuning in. And of course, you can find everything else of Mile High Report related at milehighreport.com. Tons of articles, news stories, blog posts, videos, all that fun stuff there. You can find us on social media at Mile High Sports on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. A special shout out to the Instagram gang because yours truly runs that, and we're just having a grand old time over there. If you're not plugged in with us on Instagram yet, I highly recommend it. Go on over, follow us. It's going to be a good time. But I already hinted a couple of the things that we are going to be talking about today. So I am just going to go ahead and hop right on into it because one great thing, we're actually going to talk about the Raiders, and like this is a team-specific thing for the Raiders, but it ties in because, heck, we play them this week, so whatever. But the Raiders, they hosted a players-only meeting ahead of this game. I believe it was on Wednesday. It was led by Derek Carr and Max Crosby. This was after their most recent loss to the Titans, where the Titans, not necessarily a great they're not necessarily a good team either. The Raiders pretty much got handled by them, and so you have to have the two teams' veterans, probably the leaders from either side of the football. I would say definitely the leaders from either side of the football, trying to take care of things. There's a lot of reports coming out of the Las Vegas camp. There's a lot of tension, especially with head coach Josh McDaniels not having a great amount of success so far this season. The Raiders are the only 0-3 team in the league right now. Of course, as Broncos fans, that makes us super, super happy to hear. But there's been struggles on both sides of the football. Derek Carr has already been sacked 7 times this season behind that shoddy offensive line. Devontae Adams has been limited, if not non-existent at times. Hunter Renfro hasn't had the most successful seasons as well. Darren Waller, limited. Their run game, not there. And the backers and defensive secondary have also been lacking. It's just all around, it's been a bad time for the Raiders, which you know, of course, really not complaining about. Derek Carr has not gotten off to the best of starts. He has only 2 touchdown passes on the season with an interception. That's Russell Wilson that has those stats. Derek Carr, still the same ratio, 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So it's not great, especially when the Raiders' leading receiver is Mac Hollins. Of course, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of you don't even recognize his name, because he is their leading receiver. It's not, like I said, Hunter Renfrow, it's not Devontae Adams, it's not Darren Waller, it's him. And especially, take a look at some of the where the Raiders do struggle as well. Right now, they're about the middle of the pack when it comes to offensive yards per game. They are right behind the Broncos. They are at 346 yards per game, and they are also, I would say, near the top of the middle when it comes to scoring. They're averaging about 21.3 points a game, so way better than where the Broncos are at. The Broncos are actually 31st in the league at 14.3 points per game, only ahead of the Colts that are at 13.3 points a game. But we don't need to talk about the Broncos being bad offensively, because we all already know that. But also where it gets interesting is Raiders are near the bottom of the league in yards per game defensively. They are giving up 376. And like I said earlier, they're also pretty low because they're giving up 25.7 points per game, not 25.6. So I do stand corrected on that statistic there. And this is also a fun one where Josh McDaniels, he's only won 1 game in his last 10 that he has been the head coach of. This, of course, is dating back to 2010 when he was with the Denver Broncos. And he has an overall head coaching record of 11-20. So Josh McDaniels' lack of success is really kicking things in here, with the team not being able to play, with the stars not being able to step up, with him being 0-3. It definitely is no surprise that there is a lot of discontent going on with the team. And I don't know, the whole player meeting things are interesting, because we were taking a look actually, and we were talking the Mile High Report group chat that we got going on, and it's looking like I guess maybe within the last 10 years is what we're looking at, that it's kind of a mixed bag on teams that have players meetings. Of course, the Broncos have had a couple within the last 10 years, I think 8 years actually, but it's hard to tell, because sometimes teams do well after it, sometimes teams still suck after it. So it's, you can't really determine whether or not a team is going to have success moving forward just based on that they had a player-led meeting. But one thing that we can know for sure is that things are not all right in Las Vegas. And so hopefully that bodes well for the Broncos this week. The next thing I want to jump into is something I wasn't necessarily able to fully hit on, at least not as much as I want to, in my live stream over on Twitch. Of course, that's MHR_live over on Twitch TV. You can find us there pretty much every Monday at noon. Just a slight change to the schedule for this coming Monday. We will be going live at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and not the typical 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. But go ahead. It's a fun time. Love to have you guys there. Come join me. It's going to be a good time. Hopefully talk about the Broncos beating the Las Vegas Raiders. But one of the things, like I said, I want to talk about that I didn't get to in the live stream on Monday for this week. If you caught us there, thank you so much for jumping. You guys are awesome. But I want to talk about that Jozy Jewell's return to the field was a very, very welcome return. His impact was definitely felt all throughout the game. Of course, he definitely looked pretty dang good, is what we'll call it, on Sunday night. He was the team's tackle leader, 9 total tackles with 5 solo, just ran off the stat line. He had a big sack, couple tackles for loss, and a couple quarterback hits as well. Jozy Jewell It was great to have him back. And I'll kind of go over some stuff I did talk about on Monday days. It kind of flows into this whole thing. Josie Jewell is a vital part to the Broncos defense, and we should all be super thankful that he is seeing that he was able to make his return in season debut, really. Because another thing that maybe not a lot of people caught on to, I'm sure a lot of you guys have, but there's some that didn't, is I would say his ability to shore up the middle of the field in that linebacking core. Also, it helps that rookie Nick Bonito was able to make his NFL debut as well against the Niners. But being able to have those two guys there on the field, oh boy, that really did let Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory cook. All right, because I love being able to see them line up on the same side. Putting Bradley Chubb over guard was awesome. And especially if they're able to replicate this against the Raiders, against an even worse offensive line, you don't have to deal with anyone like Trent Williams especially. Oh, boy, honestly, if the Raiders are giving them, you know, what is that, 2.3 sacks a game, the Broncos, I think they're going to have a 4-sack game against the Las Vegas Raiders. I do. Between Bradley Chubb, between Randy Gregory, between Jones Griffith as well, be able to do some stuff off the edge. Let's talk about Mike Purcell. Man, that guy had a game at the front line. And especially, it would be cool to see Benito get his first sack as well. DJ Jones apparently is in the concussion protocol. Not super optimistic about him playing this week. So, I would love to see the Broncos recreate this success. In fact, I think they're going to have a lot of success against the Raiders' offensive line. And one of the last things I wanted to talk about this this episode was in a recent article that I saw published on FanSided by Sayer Bettinger. They listed three players that the Broncos should be worried about. I'm going to go through them, and we're going to see if it's an overreaction that we should be worried about them, or maybe not so much. Of course, the first one they listed was wide receiver KJ Hamler. Some of the big concerns there was that his injury concerns are affecting snap counts and overall offensive impact. Now, it's hard to deny this. He played, I think it was 40 snaps against the Seattle Seahawks. It was fairly limited there. Didn't play week two because of knee and hip injuries. And he was playing against the Niners, but also in limited fashion, only had 19 offensive snaps, if I'm remembering that one correctly as well. This is valid. Yeah, this is valid. It's been tough seeing KJ just sidelined with so many injuries. You just have to feel for the guy. Luckily, it's not like a Jake Butt type situation where he just really couldn't catch a break, but KJ still having a hard time actually seeing consistent time on the field. It's hard because we've never really, for an extended period of time, seen him healthy and see what he can do to take the roof off of defense. So I would love to see if we can use him more, but also the Broncos just haven't been great on spreading the length of the field with their pass plays, route combinations. So that also has hurt him as well. So a couple things playing against him. I wouldn't necessarily be worried about KJ if this continues throughout the season. Sure, absolutely, I'm there with you. But right now, I'm not worried about KJ. At least play-wise, injuries, yeah, those are concerns, but I don't know. I never really talk about injuries because it's hard to predict them. It's not really useful. The next player goes into where I could definitely see this is Albert Owebonam, because he has drop issues and he also is bad in run protection. By bad, I mean he's pretty horrible. He's pretty much on the same level of Noah Fant, which is, as we all know, it's not great. And this has also been the reason why he's pretty much never in on a run play. On passing plays, he's there, so almost he's giving up what the Broncos are doing because you can't trust him when you want to run the football. And this is also something where it's, of course, the Broncos rookie out of UCLA, Greg Dulcich, he is on the IR for the first 4 weeks. He will be coming back within a couple weeks is the hopes. And so maybe in a few weeks, we might even be able to see Greg getting the majority of snap counts depending on his running game. Now, I don't think necessarily that will happen. But as of right now, yes, I am worried about Albert O. I am worried about his receiving ability because when he's on, he does well. But he has some really bad drops over these last few weeks. And the fact that, you know, if you're – okay, let's be real. You're a tight end. It's a hard job because you have to do two jobs. You have to block like offensive line does, but you also have to receive like a wide receiver does. So – but also, if you're an NFL tight end, you are expected to be able to block, at least be able to block in limited capacity, and be able to block at least decently. He can't do that. Albert O can't even block decently, so he's pretty much vulnerability on the field. So yeah, be worried about him. Very valid, especially with the projections you're supposed to have for this season. And speaking about vulnerabilities, let's talk about the last player that they list, that Sayer lists here, and that is Melvin Gordon. And yes, he's absolutely a vulnerability for the Broncos. This is his third season with the Broncos. He has now 10 fumbles with the Denver Broncos, three in his first two seasons each. But this season, he's already up to 4. Of course, one cost the Broncos a touchdown, and then ultimately the game against Seattle. He had 2 fumbles on Sunday night. Luckily, both were recovered by Denver, but man, that was really close to being the game, essentially. So, yes, Melvin Gordon, he's gotten better. Let's talk pros. He's gotten better on pass pro, and he's statistically been better on the goal line in terms of converting to touchdowns over the last couple of seasons, but at the same time, you can't trust a guy to hold on to the ball. So that's probably one of the most important things as a running back, is to not fumble pretty much any player. So if you can't trust him to do that, it's really worrying as well. And it almost always feels like it's in the most important situations with Melvin Gordon. So I've even seen some sites talk about releasing Melvin Gordon. Now, I definitely wouldn't go that far. I believe that was another fan site article. So, of course, with all these fan site stuff, you really have to take it with a pinch of salt. And we are kind of, if you peruse fan site, you're going to see some hot takes, all right? I'm just thankful that they didn't say that Russell Wilson was the most worrying player on the Broncos at this point, where I think it's a little, Not time to say that yet. But Melvin Gordon, yes. The Broncos should be worried about him. That's why I'm so happy that Javonte Williams is getting the majority of snap counts. So I do agree with that. I agree that Albert O and Melvin Gordon are worries on the Broncos offense. Not so on KJ Hamler yet. Of course, let me know your thoughts on that, though. Are you worried about these three players, or worried about maybe one or two of them or three of them? The best ways to let us know is, of course, to leave a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts with an answer. You can also hit us up on the social media platforms that I mentioned, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. I'm partial to Instagram since I'm the one that runs that. Yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can find us at Mile High Report. Of course, you can find everything at milehighreport.com. You could hit me up. My Twitter and Instagram is at Fourth in Long Media. So if you want to hit me up directly, I'm right there. But besides that, guys, that's about going to wrap it for us on today's episode. Besides KJ, Albert O, Melvin Gordon, have worries. Let me know your general thoughts on Josie Jewell, and how bad of a look do you think is it for the Raiders that they're already having player-only meetings just 3 weeks into the season? But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like I said, of course, you can find everything at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you catch your podcast from. So, just look ahead. Looking forward to this weekend's game. Catch more of our articles over at milehighreport.com. And once you're done with this, go ahead and listen to another one of our fantastic array podcasts. Catch me on Twitch, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on Monday after the game. And besides that, go Broncos, beat the Raiders. In Broncos country, as always, let's ride.